It's been a while since we learned a Rashi Sikha together. This one is a very Gishmak Rashi. Once again, every single word, the Dibur HaMaschil, even the things that Rashi adds at the end are all precise and exactly to explain to us what the Pasuk means. And it actually leads to a very important lesson, which is part of the launch of Mivtze Neshek, the Rebbe's Mivtze to encourage women and girls, even as young as 3 years old, to light Shabbos candles on Friday before Shabbos. And the pasuk in this week's parsha says that Yitzchak brought Rivka to the tent of his mother Sarah, etc. Is Rashi Maitik from the pasuk Diver Tera'oya La Sarah Imay? Rashi quotes the words to the tent of Sarah, his mother, when it's mefarish and explains as follows. He brought her to the tent. And behold, she is Sarah, his mother. Kalaymar, meaning, dugma Sarah imay. She became like his mother, Sarah. She calls Mansha Sarah Kayemes. As long as Sarah was alive, her candle was lit from Friday to Friday, ubracha mitzuya biisa, and there was a blessing in the dough, the onon kosher al ha'oil, and a cloud was suspended over the tent. Umisha mesa pasku, when Sarah passed away, these miracles ceased. Ukisha basarifka, and when Rivka arrived, chazru, these miracles returned. I just want to point out that bracha mitzuya biisa, which for some reason is very often explained as the bread remained fresh from Friday to Friday. So I'm not sure what the makor of that is. The chayder, the pshat of bracha matzuya b'isa means that there was a bracha, it was a blessed dough, that it was it would arise properly and it would bake well. There's a Rashi in Saita that says, unrelated to the story, bracha matzuya b'isa, that the doughs in the oven, they rose and they swelled up so well that they stuck to one another. But either way, there was a very special bracha in the dough. The candles were lit from Friday to Friday, and there was a cloud suspended over the tent. So therefore, v'harehi sara imay. So now when Rivka came back, so she too experienced these miracles, and so Rivka was just like Sarah. Mefarshim taichin. The Mefarshim explained, the commentaries explain, as Rashi is medayik zayin pirush from mevarat ha'ayala. What is Rashi? What's the source? What is bothering Rashi? And what is Rashi? How is Rashi deriving this pshat, this meaning from the pasuk? So the Rashi is focusing on the word ha'ayala, Vashtet far sarime, which is written before the words Sarah, his mother. Eiv dipshat volt givenvi says that to some pastors. As sarime is an uptight fun ha'ayala in ayal fun sarime, if the meaning was simply that sarime is an explanation, a description of the tent, that this is the tent of his mother Sarah, had kedar shtei an ayala Sarah imay, then it should have said the tent of Sarah, his mother. In diktuk, when there's a kamatz at the end with a hey, it means two, just like it would have had a lamed in the beginning. So other le'oil Sarah imay, or put the lamed in the beginning to the tent of his mother Sarah. So it could have said without the word ha'ayala. As Kenover Nichtein Ha'olam et Ayedia was badait as a shen yodua vevin's eldesis. But it shouldn't say Ha'olam, the tent, with a hey that makes it known, that says that this is something that is well known, implying that this is that we already know whose tent this is, because it says Sarah Imay. If you have to tell me that it's Sarah's tent, then it doesn't have to say Ha'olam, the tent. We're about to explain which tent it is. The food named Rashi no Pirush as mit vayivieh Yitzchak kayala is an inogish lesson. So when this Rashi learns that when it says that Yitzchak brought her into the tent, pause, comma, this is the end of one part. When Sarah Imay is nachan Indian, and then Sarah Imay is telling us something else, vaharehi Sarah Imay, that when he brought her to the tent, she became like his mother Sarah. That's how the Mefarshim explain Rashi. This is in Order 5. You see, this is the Re'eim, the Gur Aryeh, the Maskil David, the Sifsei Chachamim, the Dukei Rashi. All of them mafarshim. Leitim hesber daber nitvarshtandik. However, this explanation in Rashi, if the only purpose of the words ha'ayala sara imay is to tell us that ha'ayala means that he brought her to the tent, and sara imay is to tell us that she was like his mother Sarah, and that's all that Rashi is coming to do is daber nitvarshtandik. This leaves a question, a few questions. Aleph. Question Aleph is going to focus on the very classic idea that the Rebbe teaches over and over again, that the Dibur HaMaschil of Rashi is precise. The words that Rashi chooses to quote from the Pasuk are relevant and precisely chosen according to what Rashi wants to tell us. So why does Rashi have to quote the word Imoy? Well, according to these mefarshim, we're learning from the fact that it says ha'ayala and then Sarah, that ha'ayala means to the tent, and then for Sarah is something new. But the word imay is irrelevant here, according to the way these mefarshim are learning. Rashi had no reason to quote it in the Dibur HaMaschil base. Second question. Why does Rashi have to bring up the miracles? The Chayra, if the Taitz, the words are Ayala Sara Imay, you say Ayala, he brought it to the tent. And he could have just said that her actions, her conduct was as righteous as his mother Sarah. Why does Rashi bring in, where does Rashi derive the miracles from? In other words, if Rashi is trying to bring out that Sirifka was like Sarah, it could have been in something more simpler. She was as righteous as his mother. On Nemendik, question Gimel. On Nemendik, as Rashi ta'achlech has the bias given on us. So even if we were to accept that Rashi has a proof that there was a miracle here, seemingly, in the basic understanding of the pasuk, there's no evidence, there's no proof of what the ness was. Certainly, there's no proof, there's no reason to say it was more than one ness. And certainly, there's no proof in the pasuk that all of these three details occurred. And we see in the Pirush of Targum Yenis and Benazil, Agamer is weiter from Derech HaPshat for Pirush Rashi. Although Targum Yenis and Benazil is generally further away from Pshat than Rashi is. And the Targum Yenis and Benazil, as I break down the Prat from their Dolok, he only brings the detail of the candles that were lit from Friday, that remained lit from Friday to Friday. So even Targum Yenis and Benazil only brings one. So why couldn't Rashi suffice with one? So even if Rashi knew that Rashi sees in the Pasuk somewhere that there is a ness here, it's not just her Maisim were good. But how does Rashi derive that there was a more than one ness and these three specific Nisim? Now, Volti can't, Sivbeis, the Rebbe is going to suggest that this is why Rashi adds in Bereishis Rabbah that some of these details are actually not directly derived from Pshuto Shel Mikra, but they are supported by the Medrash. So the Rebbe is going to explain why that can't be. We might try to explain that these three nisim, these three miracles that Rashi brings, are actually not derived directly from Pshuto Shel Mikra, nor are break them derived from Medrash Rabbah. In Shaychus M'shat HaKasuf. Rather, he's bringing the Medrash Rabbah in continuation, in connection with the Pshat. In the Pasuk, Rashi understands that there must have been some sort of ness over here. We don't know yet why, but let's accept that for the time being. And then he brings the Medrash Rabbah to tell us what the Nisim were. When the Fart Seichem Rashi on the Mokar Bam Simon von Zion Pirush Bereishis Rabbah. That's where Rashi references the Bereishis Rabbah at the end of his Pirush to tell us that I'm actually leaning on the Medrash Rabbah for some of this Pirush. Varum from the Kisve Yad from Pirush Rashi is Kentik. And Rebbe adds something very important here, that from the manuscripts, the original manuscripts of Rashi, it's obvious, as the Mtsiyun Bereishis Rabbah Do is as Rashi's Lashon. That when it says here in this Rashi, Bereishis Rabbah, it's actually Rashi's writing. Nita hisafa from the matikim vibayasach and the mara mekemis in Saint Pirish, not an addition by the copy editors, who, like many other references in Rashi that were written in later by those who were publishing or rewriting the Pirush Rashi, this one in the manuscript, you can see that Rashi himself added the words Bereshis Rabba. So maybe let's say that Rashi adds it in here to tell us that these three miracles, he's basing it on the Medrash and not on Pshutus Mikra. Aber Levad Zoi. So first we're going to ask two questions on this paragraph, and then we're going to ask a much bigger question in the next paragraph. First of all, if we accept that these three things that are brought in Rashi are based on the Medrash and not on the Pasuk, it's going to raise two questions. Quoting the Medrash, why does Rashi omit the fourth detail that is brought in the Medrash? Dal says psuches l'revacha, that the doors of the tent were open wide. Was eich demit is nifka given dugma Sarah imi, which is another detail with which Sarah was similar to her, to Yitzchak's mother. Was similar to Sarah, Yitzchak's mother. Why does Rashi skip that? Base for was told Rashi the dry perotim and geendet in unachman after ketten seder because they're in gerechem the medrash. Why does Rashi quote the medrash in a different and even more so in an opposite order than the medrash does? In the medrash, it mentions first the onan kasher al pesachayil, then the bracha in the isa in the dough, and then the dolok, then the candles that were lit all week. And Rashi quotes it differently. First the Ner Daluk, then the Bracha in the dough, and then the An on the cloud on the oil. So those are two questions that we have on this idea. If Rashi is quoting the Medrash, why does Rashi stop after three details and not bring up the fourth detail? And why does Rashi quote them in an opposite order than the Medrash does? Ubemis is Melechatchil Yisrael Tzazagin, as Rashi named Termit Blazer Abreng and Rashi's Chazal. And more than these two questions in the details of the way Rashi brings it down, there's a more general question if you want to say that Rashi is bringing down this drasha. So it's a great field molin as baras atam for was Rashi der mont need with der chal the mocker from the perushim masaben on yisaid mit drasha chazal. It's been discussed previously in previous Fabrengans, where the Rebbe discussed the different klalim of Rashi. The Rebbe explained why Rashi usually does not bring the source of where the Pirush is brought in Midrashim. Because even when Rashi brings something that's in a Medrash, when Rashi brings it, he's basing it on the Pshutish Mikra. Is there Mokir, the Pshata Kasuf? In other words, the source is actually the meaning of the Pasuk and not the Bereshis Rabba, or the Medrash, or a different reference that Rashi might have brought. And if there's a case which sometimes happens that Rashi brings a Medrash that is not entirely consistent with Pshutish Mikra, when Rashi brings him nor derfar was the pashto pshat as nidglatik v'chadema, and the only reason why Rashi would bring it is because the simple meaning is not so smooth, it's not so understood, and therefore Rashi has to bring pshutish a medrash. But demot bavarin tetake Rashi in his matim Rabbi Seiru Dorsh v'kiyetzbeze. But if Rashi has to do that, he introduces that by saying this is a drash, this is a teaching of the chachamim of the sages. So that's what Rashi usually does. Usually Rashi doesn't bring a reference, because usually his pshat, even if it's in the Medrash, is based on the Pasuk and not on the Medrash. And if it has to rely on the Medrash, he introduces it with Rabbi Seinu Darshu. Isn't it moving Mamarav Shach? So now, so based on this, let's bring us back to this pasuk, to this Rashi. Not understood. If these three details are proven in Pshutus Shel Mikra, then Rashi doesn't need to mention Bereshis Rabba at all. If there's no proof to it in the basic understanding of the pasuk, and only bringing it as a medrash that is only connected to the Pshutus Shel Mikra, but not directly derived from Pshutus Shel Mikra. So Rashi should have prefaced and emphasized Rabbi Seinu Darshu, that this is a drash of Rabbi Seinu. So the reference, Bereshis Rabba, at the end, doesn't explain this. Because either it's derived from the pasuk, or it has to be introduced more prominently. V'rabiseinu darshu. So, back to our question, our questions. Number one, why does Rashi quote ha'ayala sara imay and the word imay as well in the Dibur HaMaskil? Number two, where does Rashi know from the Psutei Shel Mikra that these were nisim that made Rivka comparable to Sarah? And even if we was to know that there was nisim, where does Rashi in the pasuk see that there were three of them, three nisim? And you can't say that he's relying on the Medrash because he doesn't say the words v'rabiseinu darshu. So in Siv Gimel, the Rebbe is going to explain that something else is bothering Rashi. What's bothering Rashi is not the word ha'ayala, like the Mefarshim explained. What's bothering Rashi is that all three words ha'ayala, sara, imay are extra, are superfluous, and therefore Rashi is going to learn. Rashi learns a whole new limud, and the Rebbe is going to teach us. An entirely new understanding in this Rashi is the beer in them. The difficulty that Rashi is coming to address is in the Alle Drei Werter Ha'ayala Sara Imay, in all three words, thus it is Maitik, which he quotes in his Dibur HaMaskil. Now we already know why Rashi, we asked why did Rashi have these three words in the Dibur HaMaskil. Rashi quotes all three because what's bothering him is the presence of all three words in the Pasuk. Because at first glance, they are totally superfluous. The Torah is the Uysen Shuz Detzelen, as when Rivka is Angekumen mit Eliezerin. The Torah is here to tell us the following story. Rivka came with Eliezer. Und Eliezer hat bald noch sein dich in Drüsen. Der zählt Yitzchak in wegen alles, was mit ihm hat passiert. And Eliezer, immediately, upon arrival, before they even went inside, Eliezer related to Yitzchak all of the occurrences that had happened with him. So then Yitzchak then brings Rivka into his home and took her as a wife. Yitzchak, the pasuk could have said Yitzchak brought her to him, and then he took Rivka and she was to him for a wife. What are the words Ayala Sara Imay contributing to the understanding of this event? Is there fun verstandig? Therefore, Rashi concludes, as Ayala Sara Imay is meisif episus in the Geatzim Oisfir, that the words Ayala Sara Imay add something that is relevant to the conclusion of the pasuk. That Yitzchak took Rivka and she became his wife. Der mitzog teire dem tamun sibe, was hat bavoygin Yitzchak in zunemen Rivka. With the words Ayala Sara Imay, the pasuk is telling us the reason that bavoygin means outweighed, that it convinced Yitzchak to take Rivka. Bis dem is ba'im nitgeven kin davar muchot. Until Ayala Sara Imay, it wasn't a definite, it wasn't absolutely certain that he would do, and then something happened that is understood in the words Ayala Sara Imay, and this convinced Yitzchak that Rivka should be his wife. Das heißt, der Gamel ist der Zelt Yitzchak wegen dem wunderlichen Nissen die kann öffnen. Wie er sagt, es ist als geschehen, although Eliezer already told to Yitzchak the wondrous, miraculous manner in which this all played itself out, according to the indications that he designated. Gila loy nisim shenasu loy, as Rashi says, that Avram revealed, Eliezer revealed the miracles that happened. Shekov to Le'aretz, that his trip was shortened. Mishin is davening later of Kibbutz Filosi, and Rivka all of a sudden appeared as he was concluding his davening. But those also to Eliezer ungenumen also bavais, and Eliezer used all this as a proof. As Esai chachta lav dechal Yitzchak, this is the one that the Abister chose for your servant for Yitzchak. As Rivka is mit ira milis pasik to zayn Yitzchak's froi. That Rivka, with her special qualities, is befitting to be Yitzchak's wife. From deswegen, nevertheless, although Eliezer was convinced and told over the whole story and all of the miracles that occurred, nevertheless, Yitzchak noch nit given in ganzen sicher as he is taki bedoymitz to zayn mishpacha. Yitzchak was not yet fully certain that she is similar enough to his family, to his mother Sarah. in tzidkus v'chulu in a righteousness. That was the whole purpose of Avram sending Eliezer to Avram's land, to Avram's place of birth, so that you'll find someone that is consistent with the values of his family. Biz es is given vayivyeh. So Yitzchak was not yet convinced. Biz es is given vayivyeh goymar ha'yel asar imay. Until Yitzchak actually brought her into the tent, then something happened that changed his mind, that convinced him that she was the right one, the right person. When we bowed as ban vayivyeh Yitzchak ha'yel of a goymar is a kum Yitzchak saklata. So if what would happened is that Yitzchak's decision came about from the vayivyeh ha'yel asar. Yitzchak ha'yel asar imay. We must say that there were bigger miracles and bigger wonders than the earlier ones that happened to Eliezer. Which brought out the total similarity between Rivka and the family of Avram, and more specifically to Sarah. In other words, earlier we said in question Bays, how does Rashi know that there was Nisim? Maybe it was just that she was similar to Sarah. So the Rebbe answers the question with saying that the fact that that she was righteous, he already knew from Eliezer. He even knew that there were Nisim from Eliezer, and those Nisim didn't convince him. So if something happened now to convince him, they had to be Nisim, and bigger Nisim than the ones that happened to Eliezer. And Rashi learns that these miracles are actually alluded to in the very words Ha'ayala Sara Imay Eret Gizan Anes and Fabinding with Ha'ayala. He saw a miracle that's connected with the word Ha'ayala. Anes and Tazamanai with Sara. Anes, that miracle that is connected with the word Sara. Anes and Shaychas mit Imay, and Anes that's connected with the word Imay. So Rashi is learning the Pasuk Vayivyeh Yitzchak Ha'ayala Sara Imay. Yitzchak brought her into the tent. And there were three miracles, there were three nisim that are alluded to in the very words of Ayala Sara Imay. And again, that's it. Rashi quotes all three in the Dibra Maschil, because all three are part of this discussion. Siv Dalid, now that Rebbe is going to explain us what the miracles are, an oisfirlich leitn seder, and let's express it, let's speak it out as it is according to the seder of the pasuk. Ha'ayala, mita hey ayedia. The first word is to the tent, with a hey that tells us that it's well known. Anes v'sis vabundin midemayel, anes that it's connected with this tent, the seis was tel tuiz dem oil from alle andere oilim, a nest that distinguishes this tent from all of the other tents, as it's very ungerufen, ho'oyalam et ha'ei ha'idiyah, it's referred to as the tent with a hey, that means that it's known, dem bakanten barimten oil, this well-known, famous tent, undas fyrtsum farstein, and das meint on and kosher al oil. So what would be a nes that is connected with the tent, this tent specifically, the cloud that was suspended over the tent, for much an endlich to them, learned by Pasuk. Very often when the Rebbe speaks a Rashi Sikha, where he's talking about the Ben Chamesh Mikra, the Rebbe brings the precedence. Is there a precedent to this? Is there not a precedent to this? So here we see like this, that there is a precedent. Much an endlich to them gilerent ben pasuk, vayares ha-mokim merochik. In last week's parsha, parsha's vayera, when they were going to the Hara Meiriyah for the Akedas Yitzchak, it says he saw the place from afar. Ados was a gewisser mokim, is uiskitilt in helikait, bis erwert, that there's a certain place that is distinguished in its holiness from all the other places, and therefore it is called the place. Because there was a cloud that was suspended over the mountain. That also over here, where it says the tent with a hay, that's to imply that this is known, unsudaiten, afen zelben nest, to imply the same type of nest, from onun kosher ala oil, there was a cloud over the tent, was der mit uskitzechen dem oil van andere, and thus distinguished this tent from all the other tents. So when the pasuk says ha oyala, to the tent, it's referring to the cloud that distinguished this tent from all the other tents. Then we have the word Sara in the pasuk. A nes inazach vasat bezunder shaychus to Sara. It's a nes with something that is uniquely connected to Sara. which is also understood from a previous part in Chumash. Which we already learned about in Barpin Vayera. When the three malachim came disguised as guests, regular guests, Avram himself engaged with preparing and serving the food. The Torah, however, tells us about one exception to that. Avram rushed into the tent. And he said to Sarah, quickly take the fine flour, knead it, and make ugois matzis. Despite the fact that Avram was totally making every effort to fulfill the mitzvah of Achnasas Erechim, so that Avram, despite the pain that he was feeling that day, because it was the third day after his bris milah, nevertheless he ran to bring the calf. However, when it came to kneading, kneten means kneading, and preparing the dough in ganzen ibegalas farsaren, he left it for Sarah entirely, because preparing the dough was Sarah's exclusive thing. So if the pasuk says the word Sarah, implying that there was a nes, a miracle that happened, that something directly connected specifically with Sarah, is mugon. So it must be connected with Sarah's thing, which was the dough, and therefore Rashi concludes that there was a blessing in the dough. Imay. Then the pasuk says the word imay. Eichav and chamis the mikra, veis unbamerkt. When it comes to Shabbos licht, the Ben Chamis Mikra has not yet learned about it. Unlike the other two, that there is something that the Ben Chamis Mikra could reference. But nevertheless, even the Ben Chamis Mikra right away knows and notices that when it comes to lighting Shabbos candles, this is something that is uniquely connected to women in general and to his mother. When you say to the child, here was a nes that happened with the mother of Yitzchak. So the first reference that he has in his mind is Shabbos candles. Because as he sees his mother lighting candles every Shabbos. Even though lighting Shabbos candles is not only connected to his mother. Rather, even women who are not yet married will light Shabbos candles, as we'll discuss later in the Sicha. He says, aber nit umetum, it's not always, not everywhere, sorry, unit alamol, and not every time. It's not as common as his mother lighting candles. But it's possible that this young 5-year-old student of Rashi does not have a sister, or his sister is still a baby, and therefore is not yet lighting Shabbos candles. But his mother doesn't miss a Friday. Alpizis Veshtandik was so, and therefore, Ha'ayala teaches us about the Anon. Sarah teaches us about the bracha in the dough, and Imai teaches us about the candles that were lit Me'erev Shabbos, Me'erev Shabbos. Now we can answer the question that was referenced earlier. Why does Rashi not mention the fourth item that is mentioned in the Medrash? Because simply, the indication in the pasuk is to three things. Since there's no indication in the pasuk to the fourth item, Rashi doesn't mention it. However, there's one question that remains. From Varent is gedrungen as the licht of get brent as a lying made of Shabbos to Shabbos. Where does Rashi derive the fact that they remained lit for 7 days? Even if they would be lit for 24 hours, it's also a big ness. If you prepare a candle that usually lasts for a few hours in the evening and it goes through the whole night and through the whole day to the next day, it's already a ness. So the fact that it had to be a ness, we know, because it had to be something that's greater than what Eliezer told over. So we know that it was a ness. And we know that it was a ness that was connected with the candles because it said the words iman. But how does Rashi know that the ness, that the candles lasted for 7 days? This question Rashi addresses by adding the words Beis Rabbah. Just looking at it from the Pshat perspective, it leaves a doubt. It's, we are unsure exactly how long the candles remained lit. But this is what the Bereishis Rabbah says, that the candles remained lit from Friday to Friday. And since we know that there was a nace that happened with the candles from Shutus Omikra, now Rashi could reference the Bereishis Rabbah as a proof that they were, that it was 7 days. But that's not Takip Shutus Omikra. That's a medrash that is connected to the Shutus Omikra. Earlier, we asked the question about the Seder, the order in Rashi. That the order that Rashi brings these three events, these three Nisim, is different, that is opposite of the Medrash. We asked why. This question now becomes stronger because Ha'ayla refers to the Anam, Sarah refers to the Issa, to the dough. Imai refers to the Ner Dolok. So the way the Pasik lays it out, the way the Medrash lays it out, is consistent with the way it's alluded to in the Pasuk. So this raises the question on Rashi even more. Why does Rashi change the order? Sifei. But according to this, it makes the order in Rashi even less understood. Ner Dolok Merav Shabbos, Lerav Shabbos. Rashi starts with talking about the Ner. Ubracha Metzuyubis, and then he talks about the Bracha in the dough. Vanu Kosher Aloyel, but Nitin Blazes, as Behepich, when they said it in Medrash. Not only is this opposite of the order in Medrash, Nereich Faket, when they say the Bezes and Menumas in Pasik, Bifrir declared, it is also opposite of the way it is alluded to in the Pasik, as we just previously explained, that Ha'oyel refers to the Anon Kosher, to the cloud that was suspended over the tent. Sarah Barachim. So you said that the word Sarah refers to the blessing in the dough. Imai near Dolok, that the word Imai refers to the candle that was lit. Now, the Rebbe Bavarins in the brackets that maybe Rashi is telling it to us in the order that it happened, that she came on Friday afternoon and she lit her candles right away. And then you saw later a bracha in the dough. And then you saw after that, you saw the Anon. And as she says, you can't say that. Mekenet Zogin, as they say, there is Rashi, as they say, there in Rashi, is behesemit and say that v'didrai zachanam pasid parifkin. You can't explain that the order in Rashi is consistent with the order that it actually occurred with Rivka. Varum, onem de kafila aziz agikumen erev Shabbos farnacht. Unzum alam eshtun hati gitzunim licht. Even if you were to accept that she arrived Friday right before it got dark, and the first thing she did upon arrival was to light her Shabbos candles. Is there a pashat as their nest from their dolek merev Shabbos their Shabbos? How can kent gizen veren nochtem zen von onen kosher? But it's obvious that the miracle within it would have been visible only after you saw the onon, because the nest doesn't happen until it lasts for a long time. Even if you say that once it goes to Sunday or to Monday, you're not waiting for 7 days, but the fact that it lasted a day, 2 days, 3 days, is already a ness. But by then you would have seen the Anan Kasha, even if she didn't get bake any bread, but you would have already saw the Anan, the cloud. So even if she lit the candles right away, but the ness, the miracle of the candles, doesn't really play itself out until later on, which at that point they would have certainly noticed the Anan. Rashi should have started the way the Seder is in the Pasuk, the order in the Pasuk, and the way the order is in the Medrash, which would have been the first thing that happened when Rivka entered into the tent. As soon as she entered into the tent, there was an Anon, there was a cloud over the tent. And then a bracha in the tent, and was angezend bald in irisaskus medirisa. As soon as she would start involving herself with dough, you would have seen the ness of the isa of the bracha in the dough. The ness from the dolok merav shabbos to shabbos, and then you would see the ness was manat gezend bishli musa yeres ben seitan erev shabbos, that you would have seen in its complete form the next erev shabbos. Whenever Sarah came, even if she came on Friday. But then the fullness of the candles wasn't really experienced until the following Friday, when the Ner was still lit. So the question is, why does Rashi not follow the order of the Medrash, which is the order of the Pasuk, which is also the order of how the miracles played themselves out? Is the beer in them? And the Rebbe gives a very simple explanation. Based on what we said until now, that what happens with Ha'ayel Asar Imai is that this is what is convincing. This is what is outweighing Yitzchak's doubts and telling Yitzchak, this is the proper woman, the proper wife for you. And this is what brings about that Rivka, that Yitzchak should bring in Rivka to his home and take her as a wife. Because this is what showed that Rivka was similar to Sarah. Is a verstandig as should be ikir is done again in prat von sitkes. So the first thing that Sarah Yitzchak want to see is the similarity in their righteousness. And then in other areas, and this is why Rashi brings the ness of the candles first. He says that ness in a mitzvah is yotketon, a ness in a mitzvah that she had done. But the Bible that Rizki brought ir meila ir tzidkas in kiyam mitzvah, and the fact that there was a miracle done, this expresses her quality. This expresses her righteousness in doing a mitzvah. If she does a mitzvah and the Eibusher does a miracle to her mitzvah, this shows that her mitzvah was done in the most perfect, most beautiful way. So the first thing Yitzchak wants to notice, wants to discover, is her righteousness. So Rashi starts once we understand that Rashi is explaining the pasuk that these nisim are the nisim that convinced Yitzchak to marry Rivka, then the first thing that Yitzchak is going to that's going to convince Yitzchak is the righteousness of Rivka, the way Rivka does a mitzvah. And therefore Rashi starts with Ner Daluk, which was the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos Kodesh, and in that mitzvah there was a nes. The Nachtam kum the nes from bracha mitzvah b'isa. Then Rashi brings the bracha that was in the dough. Which is also connected with the actions that Sarah was taking, but not directly connected with a mitzvah. But so the bracha mitzvah b'isa is not a mitzvah that Sarah was, Rivka was doing, but it was an action that Sarah was actually doing that led to a nes. So again, this is still connected with Rivka directly because it's her pu'ula, it's her action. And then at the end, the third thing that Rashi brings is something that is outside of Rivka's actions. Onan kosher al oil, that there was a cloud suspended over the tent. Nit in a mitzvah. But not because of a specific mitzvah or a specific action that she took. So the order in which it happened, or the order which it says it in the Medrash, is not the order in which it convinced Yitzchak. The order in which it convinced Yitzchak was first the mitzvah that she did, then which led to a nes, then the nes that happened because of the things that she was doing, and then a nes that happened due to her presence in general, but not connected with a specific mitzvah or action that she did. And with this, we concluded the Rashi. We now understand the Rashi. Every part of Rashi is precise. The Dibra Maschil, Ha'ayel Asara Imay, is because those three words are not understood at first, and later will actually be the three nisim that occurred to the tent that convinced Yitzchak that Rivka was the proper wife. The reason why we know it's a nes is because it had to be something that would be bigger than what Eliezer told over, so that it should convince Yitzchak to marry his wife. Ha'ela is the nes of the cloud. Sarah is the nes of the dough. Ima is the nes of the Neder Shabbos Kodesh, of the Friday candles that remained lit until the next Friday. And the reason that Rashi brings it in this order and not in the order of the Psukim is because it's in the order of how it convinced Yitzchak. Now we're going to go to the Inyonim Ufloim, the incredible ideas that could be derived from Rashi. And from the Inyonim Ufloim, from the Pirush Rashi. Since according to this, the fact that Yitzchak took Rivka into his home and married her, not into his home per se, but into his to take her as a wife, is only after he saw that her candles were lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Vigeret Fir has explained so beautifully up until now. Zet Menderfun, as the Anhag von Rivkin is given to Tzindin Erev Shabbos Kedesh, Eichvar Dechasana. So we see from here that Sarah's custom was to light her Shabbos candles even before she was married. Yitzchak married her based on the fact that her candles remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. So it must be that even before she was married, she was already lighting Shabbos candles. Nochmer, additionally, Lei Das Rasha is the Rivka B'Shas Achastik Ben Drayer Alt. According to Rashi in Parshas Tildes, Rivka was 3 years old when she married Yitzchak. In the Melter, when it says Nach Nidadah Chiyuv for mitzvahs, an age in which the person is not yet obligated to do mitzvahs. Und von deswegen hat sie schon damit mekayim when the mitzvah von Adlakas Neiris. And notwithstanding that, she nevertheless was lighting Shabbos candles. Rashi and Parshas Toldos says that Rivka was born right after the Akedah. And Yitzchak was 37 by the Akedah, because Yitzchak was, his mother was 90 years old when he was born, and she died at 127. So therefore that means that he was 37 years old. Then the Pasuk says that Yitzchak was 40 when he married Rivka, so it must be that she was 3 years old. It's Pshutosh al Mikra. But for this we see that not only was Rivka lighting Shabbos candles before she was married, she was even lighting Shabbos candles before she was obligated in mitzvahs, even though it's before Matan Torah, but the Avos and obviously the Imois were emulating and fulfilling the mitzvahs that would be done after Matan Torah. So after Matan Torah, a three-year-old is not mechuyav mitzvahs. And nevertheless, Rivka was lighting candles. We say to Mizu, Das is given an inyan v'simen ikri av tzmevares an ezharei sari imay. Not only was she lighting candles, this became the indication and one of the primary reasons to prove that she is like Sarah's mother. And to decide to take her for a wife. And it's not the case that without her Shabbos candles, there wouldn't have been any candles in the house. Avraham Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, even the mitzvahs that Rabbanon, and Rashi brings this. So this is obviously, this concept that Avraham fulfilled the whole Torah is obviously consistent with Pshutosh al Mikra. And the din is that if the woman is not lighting candles for whatever reason, the husband does it. We have to accept that after Sarah passed away, Avram, and in parentheses the Rebbe as also Yitzchak, would light candles every Erev Shabbos. I'm not exactly sure what the Rebbe means by the Yitzchak, unless Yitzchak had his own tent, and if Yitzchak was living in a separate tent, then he too would light candles for his tent. Und von deswegen hat sich Rivka nicht benugend mit Lichtzinden von Avram Avinu. And nevertheless, Rivka did not suffice with the candles that were lit by Avram. But said is given a godel mechuyav mitzvahs the shayach is oz, who was an adult and therefore obligated in the mitzvahs that were applicable at that time. Nor is yot alein gitzun den licht, nevertheless she lit her own candles. Chatsi is demot given a ktana bas gimel shonim, despite the fact that she was only 3 years old. Funot ben aklor oira. And this is a very clear lesson. Behesem zu dem, was machi fiel mol geret, in continuation, in consistent with what we've discussed already many times. In the order of 40, he references the Sichis of Chedesh Tishrei Tavshin Lamadei. Throughout the whole Tishrei, the Rebbe continuously spoke about this concept. And this is already in Cheshvan. This is already Parshas Lech Lecha, I think. Chav Cheshvan, Shabbos Parshas Chayisara, Tavshin Lamadei. This is already deep into Chedesh Cheshvan. So the Rebbe had been discussing this Fil Mo. As Nit Nor B'nei Smitz V'Fardah Chasna, that from Bench Nere Shabbos, not only the girls or women that are past bas mitzvah and obligated in mitzvahs have to light Shabbos candles. There is ech kleine medelach anevendik from 3 years old. Because on a nacht mit mechuyev mitzvahs, even young girls that are as young as 3 years old and not yet obligated in mitzvahs, eibz is an shin shayach to verstehen die bedeutung von adlakas nedus. If they're able to appreciate the significance of lighting Shabbos candles, darf man sie mechanach sein. They must be educated in the mitzvah von adlakas nedus Shabbos kedush and the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. Euch dann, wenn in huiz is da die mutter oder andere was zint licht als mitzvah veisa, even if the mother or others are already lighting the candles as a commanded individual, someone who's obligated according to din, nevertheless, just like Avram was already lighting, and nevertheless Rivka lit candles, so too today, even if the mother or other women are lighting candles in the house, the girls, the young girls, even as young as 3 years old, should light, if they can understand what they're doing, they should light Shabbos candles. When a gamma Rivka is done by Ira Drayer, given a sach mer basdas, Vidas is a medal stam in dem elter. Even if you're going to argue and say you can't compare to Rivka was much more mature than a regular 3-year old, that we would see today. V'mezatas klar from the Basidic with Eliezer, we see very clearly with the occurrences with Eliezer. But so Bedaygan and Inamaisim, who was studying her actions, under Fartaka zech kefader tirdas, and this is also why her consent was necessary. Yirtzushtim from Shidduch, she had to agree to the Shidduch. Umbizvid Ashi, so Tfriyer, as Ashi says earlier on, as Melander from Ares, as Emasin, as Aisha Stama Gdela Lemidaita, that even when you're marrying an adult, it has to be with her consent. And where do we learn it from? From Rivka. So obviously, Rivka was old enough, mature enough to give consent. But nevertheless, after all, she was still way before her bas mitzvah. So nevertheless, halachically speaking, she has the din of a ktana, of a minor, and therefore, we could learn from her that minors as well should light Shabbos candles. This is inyan nifla number one. The wondrous concept that Rivka, despite the fact that she was so young and unmarried, she was already lighting Shabbos candles, which is a lesson for us today, that even someone who's not married, and even someone who's before Bas Mitzvah, even all the way to the age of 3 years old, should light Shabbos candles. Now that Rebbe is going to share with us another wondrous, another amazing, incredible idea that we learn from this Rashi and this idea, this concept. As we just mentioned, it's certain that Avram lit Shabbos candles every Erev Shabbos. When the Torah is made, as it is given, and the Torah testifies that Avram was already advanced in his age, and Hashem benched Avram with everything. Which obviously, certainly includes Beruchnis, that Avram was a very accomplished individual. So Avram was lighting Shabbos candles, and he was a very holy, spiritual, accomplished person. And Avram's candle lighting did not play itself out that it remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. We just give him a licht from Sarah and the Nachbar Rivka, and the Dongay, and Sindon's licht to Drayar, as it happened to Sarah's candles and later on to Rivka's candles when she started lighting from the age of three. And from this we see the incredible power that lies in the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. Even from the very small 3-year-old Jewish girls. Every Jewish daughter is called the daughter of Sarah Rivka Rachel and Leah. That when she lights her Shabbos candles, this illuminates the entire home for the duration of the whole week. The untershed isn't them. The only difference is, but the candles that were lit by Sarah and Rivka had the lichtigkeit gepeilt und belichten offen rede gasmis von stub. Their candles illuminated openly the physical home. We bowed their gasmis to the neir at the derech nes gebrent meir shabbos to shabbos, because the physical candle remained lit miraculously from Friday to Friday. But on a deeper level, this is true by every single woman and girl who lights candles. Even if you don't see the candle, the light remain lit for 7 days. Since the actions of our forefathers, and obviously the mothers as well, are an indication and an empowerment to all of their descendants, every single woman who is a daughter of Sarah Rivka, etc., has the mitzvah lichtigkeit von ihr Shabbos, so Shabbos licht, so peils and after Kanzavach, has the ability, has the power that the mitzvah of her lighting Shabbos candles should have an impact on the entire week. So that's the second inyan nifla, the second wondrous thing. Number one, the idea of bechlal, that even girls who are not yet obligated in mitzvah should light candles. And not only that, but another inyan nifla that we see is that when they do light their candles, it has an impact. It illuminates the house, at least spiritually, for the whole week. Noch sivches, noch an inyan nifla. Dafki bad lakas nedes from ktanis. And here we're going to focus specifically on the candles that are lit by the young girls over those written, lit by the adults. As if them how it's developed when the sages express praise the greatness of the breath of the words of Torah, that are studied that sustain the world. They say that specifically the learning Torah of children sustains the world because the breath that with which they speak the words of Torah has no sin. They're children, they are innocent of sin, and therefore it is the most pure Torah learning, and it sustains the world. And from this we can derive that when the girls who are under bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, who light their Shabbos candles, it is the action of a hand that has no sin, and therefore it is even greater than the Shabbos candles that are kindled by the adults. But then you can ask a question. This would technically, this should apply to all mitzvahs that are done by children. And I don't find in Svarim to discuss this mila besides with regards to Limud HaTorah, that it's a hevel shein bechet. In the maisim, ma'asiyas hayat shein bechet, you don't see that discussed anywhere. Obviously, it's something that's unique to Shabbos candles. So what is the uniqueness by Shabbos candles that we say that it's asiyas hayat shein bechet? Siftes. The reason that the neiris of Sararivka, the women's candles, and this applies to the women, women and girls that light Shabbos candles throughout the generations, that they are the ones, like we said in the previous seif, that remain, that illuminate the home, either physically or spiritually, for the duration of the week. And this doesn't apply to the candles that were lit by Avram, and therefore by the men in the later generations. It's verstandig from the Maamar Hazal, could be understood based on this Maamar Hazal, as their inyan from their man, the role of the husband, the Gemara discusses that the husband brings in raw wheat stalks. And the woman, she grinds them and she makes them into something that is edible. So, and now we're going to explain that, what that means, more beruchni sa'inyanim. So we say like this, the role of the husband is maybe chitin. Not in bringing zeharayin in shtubarayin. He brings them into the house. When the arbet from their frui, from ezer kenegdoi, and the role of the woman is to, is his partner, is to farvandlin the chitim in a maichal oreil adam, to transform these wheat stalks into something that is edible. The Eibishter established the nature of the world that a man is a conqueror. So der oberen zachen in der von der dreisendiker Welt und sei reinbringen in sein Haus, to gather things from the world and bring them into the house. The role of the woman is the glory, the beautiful honor of the woman is inside, and the liberal side, the akeres abayis is the erev gabe pnima inavenik. And since the woman is the akeres abayis, her role is on the inside, inhuis, zu misakin sein und ibermachen od die reingebrachte Sachen, to rectify and to transform these things that were brought into the house. As I know, lodom, they should be fitting for a person, bis to doy kivyachal lodom elyon, and to the point that they should be befitting to the supreme man, which is referring to the Eibishter. Underiber, shas Avram had the gebench licht. When Avram lit kaz canvas vibalt, is not zayn tafkets of an emetzich mitzarach yabai. Since this was not his primary role to engage in the things that are within the house, or does not kedar vikin bring in a nes to beleichten the huiz in gasvis dikin zin mer vi alpi teva. Nit does zayn aveda. So it was not necessary for this to turn into a miracle that would shed this light, that would shine, illuminate this light into the house for the duration of the week. When it comes to Sarah Verivka, however, and their daughters and descendants, which the Eibishter gave them this unique role to take care of the home, and to take care of the physical, material matters of the house, haben sie die Schlichus und dem Keach zu bewirken und beleichten mit sehr in Eres, die ganze Stube im Meshach von der ganzen Zeit, als den Meshach von alle Wochentag, sagt man, dass es ein Stube, was Bas Sarah und Rivka in ihr angesunden in der Shabbos. Since the house is her place, is her domain, and this is where she accomplishes the role that she was given, therefore she has the power that when she lights the candles, it should impact the home for the duration of the week, that it should be seen and recognized that this is a home in which Shabbos candles were lit. So the third Inyan Nifla, is that the role of the woman is unique, and therefore when you couple that with Hevel Shein Bechet, or Asiyas Yad Shein Bechet, you see that there's a beautiful Mila specifically with children. So number one, we learned from this the light that Shabbos candles are something that's applicable even before the wedding, and even before Bas Mitzvah, and even at the age of 3 years old. Number two, we learned that there is the other Inyan Nifla was that there's a Mila in the candles of the woman over the candles of the men. And number three, we said there's an Inyan Nifla in the Milas of the candle of the young girls over the adults. And now we can go back. We already answered this question, why Rashi chooses the Seder, but now it'll make sense also on a deeper level. Why Rashi chooses the Seder, first Ner, and then on an Kasher. First, Mizogin, the Dirai Yonav as Rashi brings, Ner Dolik Merav Shabbos, Nev Shabbos, Brachum Mitzvah Yabisa, Varon Kasher Alayel, that these three things that Rashi brings, and in Kekin, the Dirai Mitzvahs, and Ungizok, Yavarim, and Yuchat, Sidish Atechter, correspond to the three Mitzvahs that are given uniquely to Jewish women and girls. Chala, Nida, which is Taras Mishpacha, when Adlok Asaner, the Mitzvah of separating Chala, the Mitzvah of family purity, and the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. Durchapet in the mitzvah of Nadlakas Ner is Ner Dolok Mer Shabbos Ner Shabbos. By keeping the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, this keeps the candle lit for the entire week. Dizirus mitzvah challah. When a person is careful in the mitzvah of challah, peyot es vazayim bracha mesuya b'isa. This causes that there should be a blessing in the dough. Durch dizirus mitzvah nida, and through the scrupulousness in the mitzvah of a family purity is menzechetz on a kasha ala oil tada brengte on a shechina. We merit the cloud over the tent. The cloud obviously represents the shechina, that the purity of the person of the family brings the cloud of the shechina. And according to the chronological order of these mitzvahs, Rashi lays out the order of these three things, but that an upheaving from the dry mitzvahs, which are dependent on these three mitzvahs. As soon as the girl reaches the age of education, she begins to keep the mitzvah of lighting candles, and therefore near dolak men of Shabbos, Tev Shabbos. Therefore, Rashi mentions that near Dalek first. Später, wenn sie wird älter und sie hebt an zu helfen in Stub, Arbit. When she gets a little bit older and she helps out in the home. Und sie ist eichesekes b'isa. She is involved in baking the bread. Bracha mit zu b'isa. And therefore, the next thing is that she sees is the bracha and the dough. So Rashi mentions that second. Noch später, bei sie hat chassinen. Later on, when she gets married, is he demo b'kaim, the mitzvah nida, then she taras mispacha. She fulfills the mitzvah of family purity. Onon kosher ala oil. And then she sees the third anes, the onon, the cloud of the shechina, suspended over her tent. So the order in which Rashi brings it is the order of the three mitzvahs that are connected to these three nisim as they occur in a regular girl woman's life. And over here, obviously, you see the letters, the next two paragraphs in very, very bold letters, which is very unusual in Likutei Sichos, but it's obviously meant to emphasize this as strongly as possible. Von dem allem ist verstandig der Gede Laschus. From this we understand the great privilege. Was ist da in der Istadlus, which exists in the effort, as yet the Idische Medele. That every Jewish girl, as soon as she reaches the age of education, so tzind in licht bechol erev Shabbos Kedush, should light her candles every erev Shabbos Kedush for erev Yom Tov. Durch adlokas ner Shabbos, and through fulfilling this mitzvah of lighting the Shabbos candles, but in zeicha zayin v'yazok in Yalkut Shemini, we will merit, as the Yalkut Shemini says, to the neidus tzion, to the candles of tzion of Yerushalayim, which the Eibishter will show us, v'karev mamish v'gula amitis v'ashleimah.